left, and that train keeps carrying on, but the truth's still stuck in the barn. Oh, is this a prison in my mind? Oh, or does a prison just seem like I've been circling, circling, circling?
Right, you are tuned in to WYXR 91.7 FM, Memphis, Tennessee. And I'm Liv Cohen, but more importantly, I'm very, very stoked to have Monrovia here with me today. How you doing?
Thank you so much for having me, Liv. I'm doing well. Appreciate it. Yeah.
Good. So for people tuning in who may not know who you are yet, who is Monrovia? What's your story?
Yeah, my name is Monrovia. I'm just a storyteller, a songwriter, kind of just telling stories of the time and the past and trying to carry the hard truths and trying to present them in the softest way possible for people to be able to relate to them. So those are kind of the things that I talk about in my music. And yeah, really appreciate the time given to have this interview with you all. So appreciate it.
So tell me more about your sound and how you kind of landed in that sweet spot of folky kind of music.
Yeah, it was a long journey to get here, to kind of finalizing the sound of what I am now. I dabbled in a lot of different genres, you know, hip hop and, you know, some rap back in the, I would say like 2018 and stuff. I was kind of just trying to find my way. I didn't land on this until 2022, going into 23. And folk music, and singer-songwriter was something I was always very interested in as a kid. But, you know, being Black and in the American scene, I thought one of the quickest ways for me to get into, I think, you know, into the public eye was kind of just the path of rap and trying to see if that would open any doors for me. And it never really did, you know. And so I went back to things I loved. I was like, whatever, if things take place, you know, so be it. But I'm just going to try to be my true self. And I ended up having a ukulele that my parents gave me, and started to write songs with deeper meanings and kind of just becoming an open journal for myself to reflect and look at the root of many of the things that I had ran away from most of my life. Mm-hmm. And in sharing these stories and navigating, you know, my love for, you know, I think folk music, I ended up just the honesty started to really bring people to me. And, you know, we started to kind of build a following that way. So, yeah, I'm very thankful that for everything that has taken place till then. But yeah, folk music's always been a first love of mine. So,
yeah, you talked about building that following. It seems like it happened very, very quick. Like you popped up on my TikTok feed a year ago, and now you're opening
Wow.
for Alabama Shakes and like have millions of streams. So how's that experience been for you?
Yeah, it's kind of been a lot, to be honest. I'm a pretty quiet guy, and I enjoy living. That's kind of why I live in Chattanooga. I've never left, and I don't think I will. But yeah, I think if I had it my way, I would probably prefer not to be seen too much and everything. But I think coming from a place of thankfulness, I'm always very appreciative of how everything's gone and the team that I have and the bandmates that are around me. But it's definitely been kind of blur. I really just am trying to remember it all and take it in step by step and stay me through the process. I think that's kind of the hardest piece. Maybe probably from, I think for most artists, most likely if things are starting to grow and you start to separate yourself from, it's easy to separate yourself from, like just the people that you once knew, or just because, you're kind of in a space of traveling a lot, playing in front of a lot of people, and it can be a lot to come back home and feel normal after all of that often. So navigating that is very important for me to
Totally.
stay there.
I'm trying not to continue to talk about TikTok, but I feel like it was pretty pivotal for you. Were
Oh,
you the one
yeah.
uploading your videos from the start?
Yeah, it
Or
was me and Eric. Eric was my
wow.
first manager. Oh, well, he was the first one that was, it was just him and I from the beginning, 22. Well, even still now, it's him and I kind of doing digitals and stuff. So yeah, it was always us kind of getting the video shot, uploading them to TikTok, and I was doing a lot of lives back then. That's kind of, I would say that was a big driver, is I was on almost every day of every week, playing in the mornings. Like I set a time 9 a.m. till 10:30, and it became a routine, and people would know that's when it started. And so that's how people started in the mornings of their, before they went to work, they'd have it on if they're making coffee, they're eating breakfast, whatever. It just became a background to other people's lives, really.
Wow.
Something peaceful, soothing into the experience. And that's how the following started to grow. TikTok was a massive catalyst for that. So
That's
very, and I
super
still go, and
cool.
it's cool. I just was on it before I came and talked to you. Whenever I have time these days, I still go on and be with the people that first found me, because I know people's names, and there's always more people to be found. So it's still something that I try to fit in my weeks if I can, just to show that I'm not one to remind myself of where it began, and that these things are still super important regardless of how big you get. Like, it's important to stay close to the people that were there from the beginning and not separate yourself from that ever. And so it's a beautiful thing.
It really is. It really is. One of, if not your biggest hits thus far, which I hear all the time on the internet, on like all platforms, and we play it as well, and we'll hear it in just a few minutes. But Heavyfoot, tell me more about that song.
Yeah, Heavyfoot. I remember I wrote the chorus in my room here in Chattanooga. Just the "Love me now, hold me down," and it was going to be a joyous kind of song about being together. And it was right before the week I was going to go to Topanga and write some songs with my close friends, Grant Averill, Cooper Holtzman, the producer, Eric Cromarty was there as well, and it was just the chorus that I had. So I took it up there to Topanga with the boys, and as we started to discuss, we felt that we needed to also touch on some of the things that were going on, in America, and bring that back to the importance of being together, the importance of how your life does matter, but it cannot move on, and it's no more important than the next person that's besides you. And living together and learning how to and learning who is really against you in these things is super important as well. And so the song just kind of became a joyous anthem of remembering that everybody's in this together, and joy is an important part of resistance. You can go through, in sadness a lot of the time, and doubt and fear, and those things can only take you so far. But if you have moments of joy and experiences of feeling that you may come over the hill, I think that's an important piece to always call back. And so that song became kind of a joyous anthem.
Absolutely. Well, let's hear Heavyfoot right here on WYXR 91.7 FM at Memphis. And we are with Monrovia, and we will be back in just a minute.
Do you hear the sound of a bell? Did you wish your family well? Times ain't the same in the neighborhood. Got the parents all going through hell, 'cause the guns keep flying off the shelf. Do you see the man on the street just fighting for a meal or tea? You can write him off as a lunatic, but it could have been you or me if we didn't ever find our feet. Love me now, hold me down, and the government's staying on every foot, and they try to keep us all down. No, they never gonna keep us all down.
All right, you are tuned in to WYXR 91.7 FM Memphis. I am Liv Cohen. I'm here with Monrovia, who will be opening up for Alabama Shakes next week at Grand City Amphitheater in Memphis, Tennessee. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you again for having me on.
We talked a bit about we touched base a little bit on your upbringing and growing up in America and trying to find your sound. You've talked a lot about it in other interviews, but I'd love for you to explain more about your childhood and your parents and your family and how that has influenced your sound today.
Yeah, I appreciate that. So I didn't grow up, but I was born in Liberia, West Africa. I spent some time there. And if you don't know about Liberia, it had 10 years of civil war, and a lot of the country ended up being, you know, ravaged and destroyed in the process. And I lost my mother and father during the Civil War, and I have some siblings that live there still, but I didn't connect with them for many years down the road. But I ended up being adopted by a missionary family that lived in Liberia during this time, beautiful family. And they took me in, and, you know, over time I became adopted and came to America that way. And growing up, moved to a lot of different places, a very, you know, kind of religious household, and I was listening to a lot of church music. My friends make fun of me a lot now because I didn't really know a lot of popular music or anything like that. It was pretty insular. But that shaped my sound. I think being in the church scene, I learned and watched and saw a lot of the power of music, you know, and, you know, it's not a unknown thing to see how, you know, religious organizations use music as a very powerful tool. And I think watching that, I understood the, you know, what it could do to not only myself, but to people as well, you know, and the honesty of it and the feelings that it can convey and bring forth. But it wasn't until, you know, years later that I started to be honest with that in myself. And you can tell now with the music I make how it does make a listener sit and contemplate and pull different emotions out of people. And that's been an important thing that I think growing up in the family that I did and the way I did has kind of pushed my music in that way. So I'm truly thankful for that, I guess, learning that along the way. But I think the most important thing for me, though, is, you know, that life, though my life kind of began in a very harsh and sad way, one of the most beautiful things that we all have are the choices along the journey. And I know we call them sometimes bad choices, but I suppose some choices just lead you a longer way to where you're supposed to be. And I felt that a lot in my life, and the choices that maybe were not linear still led me to becoming this person as Monrovia. But always remember that, I think, the choices that you have, that's something that I leave with you. But anyway, yeah.
Absolutely. So you are kicking off the venue that you're playing at next week in Memphis. Y'all are playing the first show ever at this new venue, which
What I
is,
heard. That's crazy.
yes.
I'm excited about that.
It's huge
Yeah,
for
it sounds really cool.
Memphis. So many people are so stoked about this show. How are you feeling about this tour?
I'm excited about it. You know, listening to Alabama Shakes a lot when definitely when I was in in college and stuff. And yeah, I'm very excited to be in their incredible musicians, you know, learn from them along the way. But also it's cool to set the scene, you know, and hopefully bring in people into a night that is joyous and thought-provoking and helps them, you know, carry on through this time. It's really
Yeah,
important to me.
for
So
sure.
looking
So,
forward to it.
can you tell me more about the Monrovia Live experience?
It's interesting because you know we're opening, so it's I guess you know in a quick bit, I would say it's very conversational. I'm kind of someone that tells you know kind of little anecdotes between songs and things. I mean this version probably a lot quicker since it is an opening set, but I try to connect the listener to the songs, let them know what the song's about, and have those emotions that we all feel and know together be portrayed as I sing. And that's really what bring people into the space, into the safety of, you know, where we are. So that it's very it's kind of a moving set. You know, the end ends in joy, the beginning's maybe a little bit more brooding, but when you leave, I'm sure you'll be lifted, and that's really important to us.
Yeah, amazing. Have you played Memphis before? I know you're just down the road in Chattanooga.
No, never played
Have
Memphis.
you been?
I don't know what that. I've been to Memphis, but just been. I've never
Yeah.
really. Yeah, I wouldn't say it's somewhere I sojourn to a lot, but a lot of history there, a lot of culture. So it'll be cool if the band and I to be present in that space.
Totally. Is there anything you're trying to get into while you're here?
I don't even know if I'll have time. That's the only that's the thing about tour, you know, you know well, the things about tours, it's just you're always like in and out and it's just lame. I hate that part. You know, it'd be cool to see more of the city, eat at some cool spots. I know there's good food up there in Memphis too. But we'll see what's how time lends. But hopefully we get a little bit of time to do something.
Yeah, totally. Well, we are beyond excited to have you in Memphis next week, and thank you so much for sharing your time with me today.
Live, absolute pleasure. I appreciate it. Yeah.
All right. You're tuned in to WYXR, and this is Monrovia. We're going to hear one more track. Don't go anywhere. It's 91.7 FM Memphis.
Baby, I've been working some things off, trying to get right for myself, not anybody. Thinking about days gone by, running near Stillwater Creek, chasing huckleberries. Wish I was yours, but the sun been bearing badly, trying to carry on. Still got miles to go, don't go forgetting on me. Don't go forgetting on me. Some things I'm trying to get right for myself, not anybody. Thinking about days gone by, running near Stillwater Creek, chasing huckleberries. Wish I was yours, but the sun been bearing badly, trying to carry on.
I've been working some things off, trying to get right for myself, not anybody. Thinking about it.